everything. Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some arse.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this month by our fabulous friends at the Dolphin Theatre. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive arts show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Tonight we're chatting with the teams from both the Dolphin Theatre and Foolish Wit Theatre about their latest productions opening soon. And to start the show, we're chatting about the Aotearoa Festival of Black Arts, celebrating African and Caribbean creativity in New Zealand. You're in for a great night ahead, but to kick the show off, we thought we'd play another track from Still K, who was one of our fabulous guests playing live on the show last week. Here it is with Unexpectedly.
You met me when I needed it the most. No, I didn't see it coming, but now no one else comes close. Now they see just how much you've changed me. Hold back my love, and love has set me free. They don't see the things that I can see, don't understand the world, what you mean to me. More than life within your open head, it's so hard for them to understand. See, I move too fast, so I move too slow. I wanna spend my time just to get to know you better. Unexpectedly, I fell in love. And all my time and my every day, I wanna keep it right, so unexpectedly I fell in love with you. For you has evolved. My heart's been sitting on sold. Oh, how the tables have turned. Grateful for all the lessons I've learned. Honestly, I can't begin to explain all of the things you do again and again. Unexpectedly I fell in love. They don't see the things that I can see, don't understand the world, what you mean to me. More than life within your open hand, it's so hard for them to understand.
See, I move too fast, so I move too slow. I wanna spend my time just to get to know you better.
Unexpectedly I fell in love.
And all my time and my every day, I wanna keep it right, so we always stay together.
Unexpectedly I fell in love. you.
Still K, unexpectedly. Fabulous guests last week. Go and check them out in all your favourite music spots. Welcome back, Emma.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Good couple of weeks festivaling here in Auckland and then over in Australia.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy busy, but it's nice to be done. And it was amazing to see both here in Aotearoa and across in Australia so many amazing theatre kids having the time of their life.
I talked about it on here a couple of weeks ago, just my admiration for your event here in Auckland. Like, to see that Victory Centre full of screaming happy teenagers all in a safe theatre space making magic on the stage. It was cool. It's just such a cool vibe. It is every year.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was really good. And it was a fun time over in Australia. It was their 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
It's our 10-year anniversary next year. So watch this space to see what we can do to celebrate musical theatre magic.
Nice.
At Labour Weekend next year.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, welcome back. Did you catch any shows this week? I caught Legally Blonde for MPA head on. Fabulous night, entertainment and great laughter, and yeah, really enjoyed that.
So last night I travelled down to Tauranga to be at the Zoni Awards. So that's the Music Theatre New Zealand Zone 2 Awards celebrating the season down there. So it was lovely to be part of that.
Nice.
And then I was just trying to think what else I saw. I did see Mamma Mia when I was over in Australia. The producer of Junior Theatre Australia was producing that. And it packed out on the Sunday we arrived, and then the festival packed in on the Monday.
What part of Aussie were you in?
Newcastle.
Oh, Newcastle. Okay, cool. Awesome. Mm. Now, are you feeling futuristic tonight, Emma?
Why are we going to talk about the fact that it's the date in the movie today?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Back to the future. Do you remember the movie Back to the Future?
Oh, I sure do.
And all those years ago, back in the 80s, when it was created, Marty McFly set the car to travel to the future, and it was the 6th of November, so a couple of days ago, 2025, as far as the future could be seen in the 80s.
That's absolutely crazy.
So if you see a Doc or a Marty McFly hanging around buying probably, what was it, milkshakes and ice creams, wasn't it?
Mm.
Maybe Ollie's and Onehunga could be the only place, or Royal Oak. Ollie's and Royal Oak, if they're still there.
See, I thought you were going to say something about it, because it's, of course, it's on in Australia at the moment.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. You've seen it. Great musical.
I've seen it twice. I've seen it in the West End and in Broadway, and it's a great musical. It brought back so many memories, because it is such a replica of the movies.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. All right, well, not in the future, but we're certainly in the present with a very special guest joining us tonight. So a big welcome to Estelle Shoot, who is writer and actor of Po' Boys and Oysters, which is the headline act in the first ever Aotearoa Festival of Black Arts, a vibrant month-long celebration of Afro-Kiwi creativity and excellence. Estelle, welcome to the show.
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. What an exciting festival.
Yes, absolutely. And a premiere.
Yeah. What was the driving force behind this to go, hey, we need this festival, we need to celebrate ourselves for a month?
Well, you know, black creatives Aotearoa have been around for a few years now, and the fact is there is a thriving community of Afro-Kiwi artists and creatives who produce fantastic work. And we thought that, you know, it's the opportunity to put it all together in this format and to break some boundaries, to give visibility to some fantastic work.
Brilliant. We're going to talk a little later in the show about the festival and other acts that are on, but let's kick off by talking about your show coming back for its return season.
Yes.
What is Po' Boys and Oysters all about?
Po' Boys and Oysters is a dramedy, if you like. It's focused on the Caribbean family. So it's Flo and Joe, a gay female couple who live in Tamaki Makaurau, and they are in the process of adopting a child, and they're having Flo's very conservative sister and her husband, who is also quite conservative, over for dinner to disclose their plans of adopting this little kid. And there's an unexpected guest. So this is very much a play about family dynamics, sister dynamics. There's going to be some secrets, some twists and turns, and lots of humor.
Nice. And set in the suburb of Mission Bay.
Yes, set up in Mission Bay, in their lovely Mission Bay home. Yes, because they're quite creative themselves, Flo and Joe, Flo being the creative director and Joe being a ceramic artist. So, yeah.
So who do you play?
I play Flo.
Flo, yeah, okay. I was going to guess, but okay, cool. Because you're also the writer.
Yes, I am.
So what was the inspiration behind this? What made you sit down and go, oh, let's tell this story?
Well, the inspiration was a Zoom call that I had with my family over the first lockdown. So, you know, very strange times, very weird times. And my family is quite spread across the world. I mean, my parents and my sister are over in Martinique and Guadeloupe, which is in the Caribbean. And my brother then was, I think, in Paris or in Saudi Arabia, I'm not sure. And then I was in here in New Zealand. And we thought, you know, very strange times. Let's have a Zoom all together to to connect and discuss over this lockdown. And it quickly went pear-shaped because we started to argue like we were little kids. And you know this thing about your siblings, how they know how to push your buttons?
Yeah.
And doesn't matter how old we are all in our 40s and we're bickering like, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if there was a pandemic, doesn't matter if we were very far from each other, we started bickering. And my parents were like, this is a disaster. We don't know what to say to you guys. And I thought there's really something in there, you know, the relationship between siblings. And it sparked something in me. I was like, I just want to explore this. How can grown adults revert so quickly to their childhood mechanics when they interact with their siblings? So that was the inspiration.
That's cool. Thank you, family. Thank you, family, for that Zoom call. What's it like being in it, playing something that you've written, but you're not directing? You've got someone else that's directing you. How do you sort of switch your headspace?
You switch it off. I mean, it's not always easy as the playwright. I mean, once the script is done, once the script is, you know, agreed and shared with the actor, I kind of put that hat to the side and just focus on the acting work. And I'm very delighted that I'm not directing the show as well. You know, it's a completely different skill. And we have it in the very talented hands of Tioni Joseph, who's also the founder of Black Creatives Aotearoa. And we have a fantastic collaboration. So I just focus on the acting work. Of course, a couple of revisions of the script may happen, and then we will chat about that. But by and large, I'm in acting mode right now. Oh, yeah.
Has it changed much since you did it at the basement? Or is it pretty much the same?
It's the same. It's the same story, if you like. It's the same plot. But I have amended the script to make it more contemporary to what's happening in the world today.
Right.
So it's very much a play set up in today's world. So 3 years ago, it was a very different world. So I made some changes in that sense. So it's refreshed. And also we have a change of cast, because the play was essentially set up to be for 40-plus black female actresses. And we had the fantastic Sonia Rennie Taylor was supposed to be in the first iteration of the show. And we rehearsed till almost to the end, and then COVID struck. And she had to go back to the States. So the fantastic Layla Pitts step in, and at that time for the first production at the basement in 2022 it was. But Sonia is coming back for this production. So I felt like I needed to adapt again the script because she's a very different personality.
Yeah.
So
that's
those
nice.
Are the changes.
And is it the same director though?
Or
yes, it's the same director.
Tioni Joseph. Yeah.
I loved Estelle's comment, you know, that the directing is a very different skill, so separating that, because we have had writer actors in here before, and I've worried about the director because you've got that sort of sense of no, well, nothing changes. It's like it quite strict, you know, that they're in it. But you know, the reality, if the writer wasn't in the room, there are natural flows, ebbs and flows with the story. I guess here they can get permission.
It's also quite good, I reckon, though, for the writer to be able to step aside and actually see if the piece works when someone else is reading it and interpreting it and, you know, manifesting what's going to happen without your voice as the writer there, you know?
It's absolutely. And yes, and I kind of communicated that clearly also to the actors, say, I'm a fellow actor here. But of course, if I feel that something flows better, and we, you know, sometimes we did have that exchange. The actors would come and say, I feel like this line would flow far better if we did that. Is that okay? In these moments, yeah, absolutely. We can amend the script. But as you said, yeah, Emma, it's true. When you're in front of your screen, you try your very best to shape the characters and the story, but there's nothing like the hearing the story being told from the mouths of the actors, and boom, something comes, and you have to roll with that. Yeah. Mm.
What was the feedback you had from the last season, from your audiences?
It was great feedback, and that's one of the reasons why we thought, let's come back and let's do it again. They loved it. The laughter. They said, my God, I get a lot of that feedback. It's like, I'd not laugh so much in a long time. So that was, the laughter was a main point. But the second point was the family dynamics. There's something so fundamentally human and universal in that. In particular, the people who have siblings, sisters, a lot of people come and tell me, it's like, I have a sister, and I completely saw that dynamic. I could recognize myself in here. And yeah, it's, in the end, it's the humanity, the conflicts that we create among each other, but also the love that is always there, and the sort of very clumsily trying to solve those disagreements or those misunderstandings that we have very often in families, at dinner party settings. Mm. Yeah.
So how much of that laughter do you think, though, was awkwardness of people maybe in
knowing
the audience
their family,
knowing that they could see themselves in the performance?
Yeah, I would say that possibly what was happening. And it's such a pleasure, you know, as an actor to step on stage and to tell stories where you could feel that people could recognize themselves in what you're doing and in the dynamics that you're portraying on stage. Yeah, I think that was a good proportion of it. Yes.
You're changing venue from the basement through to the Herald Theatre. So still small venues, but the Herald's quite a size jump. On
yes.
the basement. Have you had to make some tweaks and changes to how you stage it? I guess the basement was very intimate, very up close with the audience.
Yes.
Herald is, you know, we talked about before we went on air, it's a very steep audience, great, anyone can see from anywhere
yes.
in the theatre, but it is quite a different acting space to the basement. Have you talked about how you'll make those tweaks?
Yes, and it's very much also, we have a fantastic team, from the director to the stage manager to the producer. We've tweaked the stage to fit the Herald Theatre better. And as you said, the configuration is different. So it's very steep at the Herald. You get to project a bit more. It's less intimate. So this is all feeding through in the configuration of the set, but also into, of course, the acting and the way the emotions are projected.
Brilliant. Tell us about your journey in the arts. When did it all kick off for you?
I'm a late bloomer. Started very late.
I love that.
Yes. Look, I'm from Martinique, the French-speaking Caribbean, and I moved here in Aotearoa in 2017 because my partner of then, my ex-partner, we had two kids that were born in London. We were born in London, and we didn't want our children to grow up in London, and she was a Kiwi, so we came here, and I'm not going anywhere. I love it here. But I don't know, there's something about this country. I thought, I just want to do something out of my comfort zone. And I decided to join an acting class at the local little theatre, Howick
yeah,
Little Theatre,
yeah,
where
right.
I was living. Took acting classes, and then before you know it, I was on a stage performing in a play. And then I got the bug. Mm. And there's never going back from that. So I started acting more and more, to classes at the Casey Stetson Studios in town, got an agent, got a bit more involved. But here's the thing, here I am with my, a black female in her 40s. Yeah, I was 40 when I first when I was first on the stage. So, black female with a French accent, with a Martinican accent. And I knew there would be very few and far between roles for me, right? So, my acting coach then said, you know what, you got to write the story. That if you... You gotta make it happen for yourself. Just write the stories that you want to be in. And the lockdown, for good or for worse, was a wonderful opportunity to sit still and then sit down in front of a computer and then starting to write. And then it became Poor Boys and Oysters. I was paired up with amazing dramaturgs, Aroha Hawaro and Dioni as well was my dramaturg. And then decided to submit the script to the Adams, and the script was shortlisted for the final and we went from there.
That's so cool. Have you written anything else at the moment?
I've written another play called Eternal Queers, but yes, I am working on something which is taking me a bit of time to get there, but I definitely have that idea and I'm going to see through. Yes.
Where did the title Po' Boys and Oysters come from? Or do I need to see the show to know that answer?
The answer is in the show.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's coming from the fact that there is a connection to New Orleans in the show. And Po' Boys are very much a New Orleans food. I mean, something that you would eat.
Okay.
So it's Cajun food, Creole, sort of Creole Cajun food, which is where... So you have that in the show because the Caribbean families, there's some Creole references. Some of them lived in New Orleans. So is this the food reference to New Orleans? And that's where the name came from. And quite often when you eat Po' Boys, you can eat... oysters, Po' Boys. So they fried oysters in a delicious piece of bread, and it's very yummy.
I was just going to say, is a Po' Boy similar to a fried bread?
Yeah, the bread is not fried, but what's inside is fried. And it's a bitty little thing, but it's very yummy, full of flavors.
I hope you're selling that in the Herald Theatre before in the pre-show. That would be good little money on the side.
Could be quite a good way to tell.
Yeah, we'll
get the flavours of the Caribbean happening before we even get in the door.
Yes, that's a good idea.
All right, we'll take a short music break, and then after the break, we'll chat more about the festival itself coming up. Our dear friend Lisa Crawley once again is releasing fabulous music. Here is "Don't Wanna Be."
Don't wanna be alone tonight. No, I don't wanna be alone. My head and my heart, all they kick up a fight. No, I don't wanna be alone. I try to meditate till I start to fixate on the song playing in the background. It's in a funny key, it's not quite B or C, and it sure is bothering me. No, I don't wanna know the truth tonight. No, I don't wanna know at all. Turn a blind eye and turn out the light. No, I don't wanna know at all. Leave me bittersweet, the story's incomplete. Not everything has an end. The book's run out of pages, I've been reading it for ages. Oh baby, I'll just pretend. Thank you.
those who fall asleep the moment they close their eyes. We used to talk till it got real light. Now it's just me and the night.
Fabulous Lisa Crawley. Beautiful recording. As always, all her music's available on all the usual devices, but check it out on YouTube. She's using Apple Music really well, Emma, because I'm getting alerts that it's the 1 year anniversary of different songs she's released each time they release, which I've never had
before.
Didn't
even know you could do that.
No, I've got one other artist is doing it as well, but Lisa's, yeah, she's always been so good in getting her music out and those socials.
Mm.
Yeah, really cool. Well done, Lisa. Lovely once again. So, back now with Estelle. Let's talk a little bit about the whole festival, because it's a month long. You are kicking it off with your show on the 22nd of November.
Yep.
But then you've got some other events. We've got some music events, some workshops, a free event, performances. Tell us a little bit about the festival as you know it. What's coming up?
Well, yes, as you said, it's the month-long festival from the 22nd of November till the 22nd of December at various venues all across Tamaki Makaurau. So, essentially, you're going to have theater, film, music, movement, visual arts, literature, and community event showcasing the beautiful creativity of Afro-Kiwis. So, yes, so the play that we just talked about, Poor Boys and Oysters, is going to kick off. So this is done in partnership with Auckland Life at the Herald Theatre. So that's going to be from the 22nd to the 29th of November. Then you're going to have Nyege, which is a festival awareness carnival.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this one's a free event.
Yes, it is a free event at Aotea Square. And it's going to be on Sunday, the 7th of December, from 11 to 9 p.m. And you can expect a lot of beautiful things. I mean, we're talking yoga, rhythm, live drumming, playful movement, creative expressions. It's open to all, and it's going to be a beautiful event in Aotea Square.
Brilliant. That's cool. And then we get ready for some Christmas. This one sounds like my favourite to come along here, Emma, because we're going to rock some Christmas beats.
Yes. And that one, is I love Jingle Beats. This is the third year. The last two were Triumph. It's such a good opportunity to celebrate Christmas in a different way. So you would have a band, fantastic singers revisiting some Christmas classic with the African flair and the African rhythm. And it's a really a joyful moment. And you should go. It's really a
Because there's
time.
Always a good beat with African music. Mm. You can't help but have a good time. There's just, it's that next level, especially with the drumming.
Yes, yeah. Especially, you imagine a Christmas classic on the drums. And
yeah.
It's fantastic.
Okay, all right, that's sorted now. Christmas party, Emma. And then you also have some literature and workshops taking place, which is sort of scattered throughout December.
Yes, so we have Future Tense, Creating Tomorrow Together. So that is done in collaboration with Design Futures Aotearoa and Auckland Council. And this one, we're going to have Sonia Renee Taylor, who's playing Jo in the play.
Wow, cool.
Along with Jonanda Petrus. So they are fantastic African-American artist. Sonia is a New Zealand best-selling author. And they come together with artists across disciplines to explore speculative world experiment with form and seed new work. So this is on the concept of Afrofuturism, of creating futuristic future. Oh,
say futuristic. Futuristic?
That's right. That's the word.
It's usually me that does that.
Yes. Yes. So that's going to be a workshop focused on that. So that's going to be fantastic again. The venues are to be confirmed, but yeah, it's going to be across several dates, so on the 3rd, 7th and 13th of December, and there will be a community dinner on the 12th of December at the Ellen Melville Centre.
Brilliant. And if that's not enough, there's one more thing. You've got a visual arts panel taking place, Beyond the Frame,
Black yes.
Abstraction and the Politics of Joy.
That's right. So it's as part of the Pop to Present American Art from the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. We will be hosting a special conversation that we bring together three Dynamics Black artists, and scholars. So you will have Elizabeth Freeman, Kenny Simone, and Erica Jeanette in dialogue with the curator Kenneth Brummel, facilitated by Dione Joseph. So this is to discuss, a panel to discuss how Black artists have shaped and expanded post-war movement through arts of imagination, defiance, and joy.
Wow, and that's at the Auckland Art Gallery on the 29th of November at 1:30. Where do people head to find out about this festival and to book tickets?
Well, you can book tickets, so I would recommend that you you reach out on social media, you look for AFOBA, African Festival of Black Arts, or you can go on the website of BCA, the Black Creatives Aotearoa, to find out about the festival and buy the tickets. For Poor Boys and Oysters, which is coming up very soon, you can just go on the Auckland Live website and you will see the tickets there that you can book. There's also another thing happening very quickly. It's the Obsidian and Scene. So it's going to be at the Capitol Cinema, I believe, and it's going to be an 80-minute cinematic journey showcasing 12 stunning works from talented Black creatives and allies across Aotearoa. So that will be opening on the Sunday, 14th of December at the Capitol Theatre. But yeah, by all means, look for Black Creatives Aotearoa BCA or AFOBA, Aotearoa's Festival of Black Arts, on social media, or go on BCA's website. And for Poor Boys, you can go on the Auckland Live website.
Brilliant.
And they're all up on ours as well.
Emma's been tapping away as we go. She sits on this computer and gets everything up. So head to kickarts.org.nz to find all those links. What are you looking forward to most about performing it again, coming up with Poor Boys and Oysters?
Is to bring the story to even more people in the city, you know, and possibly a different, because we performed the first time at the Basement and this time we had the Herald, so possibly a different audience. So it would be very exciting to tell the story to more people and possibly a different audience than we had, and to reach the story, to invite more people into the house, the home, and the living room of Joe and Flo.
And I mean, we've talked about this being a celebration of African and Caribbean artists, but all of the things you've talked about is open for anyone to come and enjoy, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
You know, this is a chance to get excited with your culture.
Exactly. It's absolutely open to everybody who would like to come and, you know, enjoy art. And that's all there is. But this time it's just coming from a different culture, a different part of the world, rooted in a different part of the world. But this is a culture that is very much existing and vibrant here in New Zealand. And we just want to share it with everybody. So it is absolutely open to all who would like to come and enjoy and share the joy of these Black artists and creatives' creation.
Brilliant. I'm going to close with a question that we haven't asked for a while. It used to be our Kick Arts question, and we kind of retired it. But
which one?
Well, just thinking that you came to the arts quite later in your life.
Yes.
So if you could go back in time now, since it is Back to the Future night, if you could go back in time, sit your 16-year-old self down, what would you say to 16-year-old Estelle, knowing what you know now?
I would tell her that fear is not a bad thing at all. And that I think because I'm saying this because I think I had already this pull and attraction for the creative world, but the fear, some fear pulled me back and pulled me away, and I did not identify exactly what it was. So I would definitely say it is absolutely worth pushing through that, and just feed on it and welcome it, because it's just magic on the other side of it.
Oh. Nice.
Beautiful, beautiful place to end the interview. Thank you, Estelle. Absolute pleasure chatting to you tonight.
Thank you so much. You're a beautiful person.
I wish you all the best for the season. I will certainly do our best to come along and check
it out. Yes, please do.
But get online, guys, and buy tickets for the festival. But of course, especially for Estelle's show, all the best with the season.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Taking a music break now as our guests from Dolphin Theatre and Foolish Wit take to the studio. Now, Emma, a lot of publicity online at the moment for Paddington the Musical.
I know.
Doesn't it look amazing?
I kind of want to be in England to see it.
Me too. So cool. So here is the only track I could find that's out at the moment, which is called Pretty Little Dead Things, which doesn't sound very Paddington, but I should. It is Paddington the Musical. Enjoy.
When I was a little girl, my father travelled round the world. He'd write about the fascinating things he'd see. But did he ever bring back anything for me? No, he just sent me photographs of lions, hippos and giraffes. Forget the expeditions, I wanted exhibitions. Something I could feel, something that was real. So take a deep breath, you guessed, I want to pretty little dead things to hang up on the wall. I don't care how big or small, give me pretty little dead things. That's what I want to see. Cause no one loves a pretty little dead thing more than me. It amazes me that people find it quite bizarre when seeing creatures in a jar. A kitten or a camel, a reptile or a mammal, any kind of beast, as long as it's deceased. Take your last breath, oh yes, all the pretty little dead things make me feel alive. If you wanna see them, spot the mausoleum for museum, and I'll happily supply all the pretty little dead things that you'll ever need. Cause no one makes a pretty little dead thing. Had enough. Why not get you stuffed with lots of fluff? Though he's never going to fetch that ball, he'll be great at playing dirt in the hall. If you reverse on the neighbor's cat, I can pump it up in seconds flat. From invertebrates to amphibia, I've stuffed an encyclopedia. An ant, a bee, a carpenter dog, elephants, frogs, two giraffes and a hog, iguanas and jellyfish, 12 kangaroos, lemurs and manatees, I'll stuff the zoo. Narwhals and octopi, quite a few quail, red-breasted robins and 17 snails, all kind of tigers, don't care where they're born. If they were real, I'd stuff unicorns, vultures and worms, Santa's a yak and a zebra, and we're almost done. I'd stuff them, stuff everything on this planet for one. It has to be
Peruvian.
I need a bell.
Peruvian.
Nothing else compares.
Peruvian.
Say goodbye, Peru.
Peruvian.
I'll send it to a place where my father pays. I will prevail.
People in the studio can't believe that's Paddington, but it is.
No, it sounded like Beetlejuice.
It did. Check it out. Go jump on YouTube. Go and find their Facebook page. Some of the videos they're putting out, it just looks next level magical. And the person who is Paddington, I mean, it is incredible. And they do a lovely double bow where they bow as Paddington, then go off and get the costume off and come back in as themselves.
That's cool.
That's really cool. I know it kind of breaks the illusion, I guess, but kids wouldn't work it out. But nice that they get the bow because you've been in
so
that costume.
So you're telling me that fluff is not real?
It's not. It's not AI too. Because I first watched it and went, is this robotic? What are we watching? But actually, no, it's a lovely little person.
It's a onesie.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we've swapped out. What a fabulous guest to kick the show off tonight. It was really interesting listening to your journey, eh?
And a very cool festival as well.
Yeah, fantastic. So it's always a good interview when I want to go and buy a ticket. No pressure to the people that have just walked into the studio. Here we go. Here's your test. So we have from Foolish Wit Theatre Company, Kasia and Sammy. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you here. And from Dolphin Theatre, our sponsors of the month, welcome David and Gavin.
Hello.
Great to have you here. And you'll have to literally eat the mic when you come in to talk. So we're all sharing in this space, all for one in here. Now, a Foolish Wit, kick us off. What show have you got coming up?
We have got Little Women coming up. We are opening on the 19th of November.
Yeah.
We've got six shows, and our final one is a matinee on Sunday the 23rd.
Fantastic. Where is this taking place?
At the Pump House Theatre.
And for audiences that don't know the story of Little Women, why don't you kick it off? Give us a one-minute synopsis of the story.
I love the pressure of these. Little Women is a story about the four March sisters, Meg, Jo, Beth, and Amy. Got them all. And basically them growing up with each other. They have friends. Laurie is one of them.
Next door neighbor,
potential love interest. Whose, we couldn't say.
No spoilers here.
No spoilers. It's just them growing up, going on their different journeys in life. Very different sisters. But all about what it's like to be family, even when you're different.
Yeah.
And even when things aren't easy.
Yeah.
But this one's not, this is an adaption of the Little Woman, isn't it?
Yes.
That you're doing.
Yes, indeed. So
how does that change things?
Ooh.
Kate Hamill, she is our playwright. She has adapted quite a few of the period books from that era.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Little Women is her most recent one. And she has brought a perspective on it that showcases that family members are not always the most likable people, but that doesn't make them any less familial or loving towards one another.
It's the theme
family
of our
members,
night.
Yeah. That's what the last people were talking
about.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a play or a musical?
This is the play version.
Right, there is a musical version.
People keep asking us if we're doing the musical.
Yeah.
No, it is the play. There is some whistling.
Okay.
But it is not the musical.
Right.
So apologies to everybody who is interested in that.
Yeah, you might have a few people sitting there going, when's the song? Okay, cool. All right. So we jump from Little Woman over to It's a Wonderful Life at the Dolphin Theatre. Tell us about this one. What's it all about? Give us the 1 minute synopsis into your mic would be great. So our audiences can hear.
It's about a guy rediscovering the value of
literally,
life.
Yeah.
I'll try and get the close. It's about a guy sort of discovering the value of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and sort of the positive contributions he makes to his community.
And is yours a musical?
No. There are some songs in it, but no.
Yeah,
musical.
I thought it was a musical.
I thought they were both musicals. You can all leave. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
We'll just show ourselves out.
Okay, cool. And who do you play?
Well, I'm Potter, who is totally irredeemable, horrible character, makes everybody's life misery. And you are?
I'm George. I'm the hero of the story. So he goes on a redemptive arc. So he's basically the stalwart, the main centre character. He loses everything. And then learns the value of family and community and all the rest of it. So,
Who wrote this?
Mary Nelson.
Yeah, he remembered it.
Yeah. Originally, it's Frank Capra, though, who wrote the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, Frank Capra, but the play is Mary Nelson.
Yeah. It was based on the film.
Okay. Do you know this one, Emma?
No.
No?
No, I don't
it's
at all.
It's not like you not to know. No.
I'm just surprised that Marianne's doing a straight play.
Yeah.
It's the first one, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah.
She normally does musicals.
She does have musical pieces in it.
Oh, well.
Okay. Yeah. The Dolphins had a busy year. Mm. You've put a lot of things on. Is this your first one with the Dolphin for the year, or have you been in any of the others?
I think Gavin's been in a few.
I did London Suite earlier this year.
That's what I saw you.
Oh, that was
there
it.
There you go. There we go. I knew I'd met you before, but not met you. See,
yeah,
you.
I've done a couple of shows at Dolphin now, and I really—it's a really good community place. You know, it's—it's—they make you feel welcome there.
Yeah, nice, nice. What about you two? Is this your first venture into Foolish Wit, or are you seasoned Foolish Witters?
I've done one play with Foolish Wit before in 2023. It was The Welkin. It was one of the best plays I did that year. Yeah.
Nice. Was it the only play you did that year?
No, it was not the only play I did that year.
That's
a fair question. No, this is my first Foolish Wit, but I've done quite a few Shore Sides, and there's a lot of overlap in that particular area of the shore with theater people. Yes. But yeah, no, I'm absolutely loving the cast and crew, and the play is wonderful. I'm just having a great time. We are all witty and we are all foolish.
Great.
Yeah, fit right in.
So look, I'm going to throw a curveball at you all now. There's a lot happening in the arts world over November and December, on top of all the end of year stuff and all the end of year pressures financially. So now I want you to think, what is it that's going to pull an audience to your show? Why should people fork out that money and come along? What's your, I guess, point of difference?
I think we're wonderful life. It's the feel-good factor. You know, it's a play about reaffirming life's values, and that's why people, I think, are going to enjoy this.
Is it light comedy moments in it? So what genre does it sit in?
It's more like a comedy drama, wouldn't you say? Yeah.
It's we've got the biggest cast I think that Dolphin's ever had.
Oh.
So working with kids as well. It's the first time I've worked with children, animals as well. First time I've danced and sang and did any of that on stage. I usually play psychos and villains, so there's something different for me.
So animals and kids.
Never worked with them, and she's never done a play before. Good luck. This is tough, man.
It's her dog.
It's her dog?
Who's never been in a show before, apart from being a show dog.
Yeah, but she's got great vision. Like, it's when you work with a director who has incredible vision.
Brilliant.
It's very easy for you to, like, calibrate the performance and fit into that. So, yeah.
I was very impressed with Legally Blonde with their two dogs that they had in this week. That was very good. All right, okay. So feel good, good pre-Christmas, lift your spirits, escape from everything. And of course, if you go on a Tuesday, you get an ice cream and a drink as well.
And on a Wednesday, you get to spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel. That adds to it. All right, Foolish Wits, over to you now. Why should we spend our dollars on Little Women?
Well, Little Women is a period piece, but this one is not going to be a traditional period version of it. I think Kate Hamill has done a really good rendition of it from a modern perspective. And our director, Mags, has got a very clear vision for how it's going to look on stage, which might be a bit different to what people are expecting of a traditional play. I don't want to give away too many spoilers.
No, but it is definitely interesting. And to answer It's a Wonderful Life, we also have a Christmas scene.
Yeah, we do.
So it's also feel good.
Do you have free ice creams and drinks on a Tuesday?
Well,
on a Tuesday.
If you ask nicely.
Brilliant, love it. All right, we're going to take a short music break, and then we're going to unpack our actors' journeys in the arts. Marlon Williams, of course, last week won the Silver Scroll Award. Not for this one, for a different one we played last week, but here is My Boy.
My believe me. But if you did, this sorry world would start to grieve me. Oh, he wants me to argue on. Nothing can touch my voice.
Marlon Williams, my boy. I was just busy commenting. Their music video is quite strange, but you need to check it out. It's good dad dancing. If you're a dad dancer, you'd be safe. Yeah.
You've always been a bit of a dad dancer, Steve.
Have I what? How to embarrass my daughters in one easy step. Start dancing. No, don't do it. All right, let's unpack the arts journey. So, David, kick us off. When did you first get involved in theatre or the arts, and what sort of sparked it?
Well, I did an acting class, and I had no idea about theatre, because I never did it in school. But I walked in off the street one time and was handed a script by, I don't know if you've heard of him, the late, great David Cole. And he'd won awards all over the world. He said he started at the top and worked his way down. So he said his first theatre experience was actually being carried on stage by Alec Guinness. Wow. So he'd worked with Richard Burden, Frederick Forrest, all those. He'd done TV, theatre, movies, so he'd done all of that. So actually working with him was really eye-opening for me. I remember one time he pulled me aside in rehearsal, and he gave me the best piece of advice I ever had as an actor, and he said, Dave, he said, stop acting. he said, I want to see the real you. He said, you're enough. And he said that there's no line between on stage and off stage. He said, if I can't believe you walking down the street as that character, why would I believe you on stage? So he did things like that. He had these wonderful ideas and concepts, and he passed that on. And he's no longer with us, but it was great being under his sort of learning tree. So that's how I got into it.
And when you look back at the different roles you've played, so you can't talk about this show yet because it hasn't opened, so thinking of others, what's been that sort of highlight that you always remember that particular role or show?
Yeah, well, I've played a lot of sort of, the go-to roles, John Proctor in The Crucible, Tony in Dolly for Murder, McMurphy in Cuckoo's Nest, those sorts. But one that I did was one of Neil LaBute's plays as a one-man piece, and it was about a soldier that actually went on a murder spree. And it was intense. It was just direct to the audience for about 30 minutes.
Wow.
And it was almost like you're hallucinating giving this monologue. It was great. Working one-on-one with the director was just fantastic. You don't get that opportunity.
No.
Yeah. To actually work through the script and all the intentions and motivations. That was good.
No, I didn't notice any musicals in that list, Emma.
No, I'm not a singer. Two left feet.
Oh, you didn't get the memo. Dolphin said you guys were singing Christmas carols to end the show.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. They told me after they cast us.
Brilliant. That's exciting. Kasia, what about you? What kicked it off?
Hi. I can't really remember what exactly kicked it off. I did theater. I was a theater kid all throughout school. Drama class, everything, bread and butter, theater camp, the works. I kind of got pulled aside by real life a little bit during uni and afterwards a bit getting into the adult working life. And I didn't really come back to theater until, would have been last year, I think, maybe the year before.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Time, yeah. Where my mom, who does theater as well, she saw a casting notice for a one act at the Pump House called Benedict Cumberbatch Must Die. And I was in that age bracket. And she was like, here, I thought you'd like it. You like this guy, right? You like this actor. I was like, yes, Mom. So I went along, like, not expecting anything, and ended up getting the part that was directed by my friend Christine, and It was just the three of us acting, me, Alice, and Mackenzie. And it was so much fun. And I was like, why did I stop doing this? This is absolutely fun. It was the first time I did an audition where I wasn't so nervous that I wouldn't get it, that I absolutely tanked my audition. And that was an amazing feeling. And I don't know, since then I've started to come back a little bit more and do more shows and be like, oh yeah, this is why I loved it, being part of casts. And yeah, performing's great, but I don't know, I think now that I'm now in my wise old age, I think I love the camaraderie and the backstage back and forth maybe just a little bit more than the actual onstage performing. So it's been really nice to go back to.
Did you thank Mum for getting you back in?
She knows. Thank you, Mum.
Now, you called yourself a theatre kid.
Yes.
I often wonder I often wonder if that term, if people see that as a positive term does it have a negative connotation? I often wonder. It's one of those terms that
I think a little
with
bit
with pride, we're theatre kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, but also does theatre
implying that we're not the sports kid or perhaps the popular basketballer
or that theatre kid are unique, strange people that kind of are one of a kind, but they find their tribe.
Mm. Yes.
It's a bit of A, bit of B, I think.
Interesting.
Was being a theatre kid a positive experience for you?
Most of my friends were also theater kids, so very much so.
Great.
But yes, it is very insular, so.
Interesting. Yeah. And you, having just had thousands of theater kids in your festival.
Exactly.
A lot of them would say they're theater kids, yeah.
I think most of those people with pride would have said that they are definitely theater kids that were at the Junior Theater Festival.
Yeah.
We need more of them, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Gavin, take us back. Were you a theater kid?
No, I most definitely was not. I didn't start until I was in my 30s, actually. So, yeah, I was really just looking for do something a bit different. You know, and I did a play and I really enjoyed it. And then I thought, I'll do another one. And it just kind of grew and grew from there.
Okay. And have you had a favourite play that you look back on?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Alfie. I played Alfie in Alfie. And that was, to me, I would have happily stopped then and never acted again because that was just such a great role to do. It's very different to either of the film versions that came out.
Who produced that one?
That was back in England. I did that in Baron's Court with KDC, Kensington Drama Society, back in 2010.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Alfie, I feel like there's a movie, isn't there?
There's two different films, one with Michael Caine and one with Jude Law.
Yes.
But the play is very different to either of those films.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you look at either of those films for inspiration?
I'd seen both of them before I did the play, but like I say, what I really enjoyed about it was it's a very different story, and he's almost a slightly different character. He's a lot nastier in the play.
Interesting. What brought you to New Zealand?
I have a Kiwi wife.
Ah, that's the theme of the night too. Good on us Kiwis, keeping immigration happy. And you've obviously found a place in the Dolphin. Are you looking at other places around?
Oh yeah, I did a play with Howick Theatre and I really enjoyed that. So yeah, I'm sort of looking at spreading my net. Excuse me, that's my alarm going.
Brilliant. His alarm's going off telling him to get to Kick Arts. Excellent. Yeah, because that's the beauty of Auckland. There's so many different theatre groups that you can go to, and I guess we've talked about it before. Do you stay loyal to one club? There was a time, I think of my teenage time, it was very much you stayed loyal to that one society, which meant you were sometimes doing shows you weren't that excited about, but you kind of did it because it was the group. Now it's the opposite. It feels more like you go where the show pulls you.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a title that interests you, then that grabs you. Would you agree? They're all 100%. Nodding. Yeah.
I would agree, but it's also constrained by travel and distance.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
true.
Especially because Auckland is so big.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I was talking to someone the other day. I've just finished reaching Jersey Boys down in Tauranga, and I commented how a 6:30 p.m. rehearsal, cast have gone home from work at 5, had a meal, had a shower, come to rehearsal.
We're
in Auckland. Yeah, well, they were like really refreshed, and they would walk in the door ready to just engage. Where in Auckland, if you did a 6:30 rehearsal, A, you'd be waiting for half to arrive, and B, when they do, everyone kind of needs to just unwind a little bit from their day and the traffic, and they haven't eaten, and they certainly haven't gone home and switched off. And it was actually quite noticeable as a director, just this calmness that entered, which is something to say, for, unfortunately, for Auckland traffic. So you're right.
Yes.
You wouldn't want to live on the shore and be heading to Harlequin for a rehearsal out in Howick.
But then some people do.
I know. It's the draw of the show, I guess.
And I think it's the draw of the people in the club. Like, I know a lot of the people that go out to Harlequin, like Patrick, our intern. You know, it was the people that made him drive all the way from the shore to Harlequin. I mean,
that's the best thing about arts in general, is just the draw of the people. Whether you're doing stage or screen or whatever, it's the people in the room that are making the art that make it worthwhile. And that also extends to the audience that comes to see these shows. Which is a unique experience each time.
Absolutely. So tell us about your arts journey. When did it all kick off for you?
It's kind of had a couple of false starts, I guess. I finished university. I had a degree in arts and a degree in science, and I thought I could be stuck in a lab looking at rocks all the time, or I could try and be an actor. And that's what I did. I guess that's
acting
when I decided.
That was quite a comparison, really.
That's when I decided I think I'd prefer acting. And so I did, I think first I did a musical in 2020, The Way of the Rokura. I think they came and talked on this. Yeah, I was in the first season of that. And then similarly to Kasia, I was reminded by the draw of the people and how being part of a cast that's like creating something for others to see and reflect on is just a powerful space to be in, and I loved it. I loved it. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, this is what I'm going to do. Rocks can wait for later.
And you mentioned, so that was a musical.
That was a musical.
So are you drawn to either or?
I am, yes. I'm drawn either way. I would like to get better at dancing. But I do like acting, and I do love singing. I've never really done it. I've never really sung professionally on a stage before, apart from in that one case, and I was a more of a background kind of actor singer. So it's really nice to be able to like sort of meld a little bit into the choral and the group.
Very cool.
You do a pretty good waltz in Little Women. Until you don't.
No spoilers. I did have to learn how to waltz for Little Women, and that has been very fun indeed.
I think that's a requirement of so many people over the years.
Waltzing
in some show. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Kick-Ass question time. A producer walks in the door and offers you your dream role. Can be one you've done before. Cannot be the show you're in now. So dream role could be in film, television, theatre, musical, even if you don't sing, but miraculously you're going to have the world's best vocal coach, Emma's booked in to come and work with you. What would be your dream role?
Oh, God.
It's that moment they all stare at me and go, don't look at me, don't look at me.
It's got to be Eponine from Les Mis.
Okay, what's the draw card to that one?
I just love her song. I just love her song. The one that she sings about the fact that I've forgotten even the other guy's name. Marius? Is that it?
That's are you talking about Little Fool of Rain?
Yes.
At the end?
Yes. Yeah. And also, the actress who played it in the movie, her name was Samantha. And I'm just like, I have noticed that now. I would love to play that role. I think it'd be great.
Brilliant. Okay. Eponine, all right.
Eponine.
Love it.
I'd also do a Fontaine, though.
Okay.
If I'm allowed.
Yeah, just so Les Mis is definitely calling you.
Les Mis.
Okay, fair enough. Kasia?
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
It was just that, oh, no.
I think my absolute dream role, I would also like to get back into musicals. I feel like a lot of lead roles for women, especially. I'm not a soprano, and I try, and I never will be. It'll go really badly. But if I could, I would absolutely love to play. I've been obsessed with Hadestown at the moment. I would love to be anything in that. Eurydice would be absolutely a dream.
Hades?
I'd love to be Hades. I almost have his vocal range. It's not even funny.
Brilliant. That's still playing in Aussie, I think. Has it finished?
No, it's finished.
I did fly all the way to Sydney just to see that.
Did you enjoy it?
I was crying the entire time. Oh. In a good way.
Yeah. Good. All right. Gavin, is Les Mis calling you?
No, Les Mis is not calling me. But I would, anything by David Mamet, especially Glengarry Glen Ross. The part of Moss in that is one I would really love to do. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Glengarry Glen Ross. Lucky last. Producers walked in, handed you the golden ticket to...
View from the Bridge, Eddie Garbone. So Eddie is at war with the world and at war with himself. And Arthur Miller is the best writer. I've done a number of his plays. So, yeah, it's a conflict is what you need as an actor. And, yeah, it's that's how I function best.
Mm.
So, yeah, definitely.
David, can I ask you day job and how do you do the juggle in community theatre? I mean, people are always at work like, why do you do all this stuff at night? I'm like, it's no difference to you going off and playing rugby on a Saturday. We go and rehearse and we just have a short, sharp season.
Yeah.
What is it like for you doing the juggle?
Yeah, well, I'm a mortgage broker.
Okay.
My everyday.
So a little bit of flexibility to control your
absolutely.
Day?
Yeah. I used to work in finance, but now I got into mortgage broking, so went from the dark side to actually helping people. So,
nice. Go on, give it a plug. Free plug? No, seriously, free plug now. Who do you mortgage broker for?
I work for Loan Market.
Good.
Yeah, one of the biggest mortgage brokers in the country. So, yeah, that was my driving motivation to get there and actually help people. So, yeah.
Nice. And the flexibility of being a little bit sort of self-controlled?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It really is great, yeah.
Okay, Gavin, what about you? What are you juggling?
It's, like you say, it's no different to if you want to play rugby in your spare time. You just, you know, if you've got a hobby, you just follow it and do it when you can. So, yeah.
You make it work.
You make it work, yeah.
Okay. Down this end of the table, we're juggling things.
Many things. I am the classic actor/waitress. So I have a casual contract, which is great because I can turn down shifts if they don't fit. And I can say, hey, look, I've got rehearsals coming up on these dates. Please don't put me on a shift on the weekend. Which, to be honest, I quite like being able to do every so often.
Yep, fair enough. And lucky last?
I work as a content producer at a media agency.
Cool.
So that is a very full-on, pretty high stress most of the time. And I'm doing my darndest to try and get that work-life balance good. Do not call me after 5 p.m. I am gone. And sometimes that works. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just a lovely after... I almost said after school activity, after work activity.
Fantastic. All right, we'll take a short music break now, and then after the break, we'll fill you in on our bulletins of what's coming up, and then the teams will try and plug you to buy those tickets for their show. Emma and I saw Nathan Fry recently. He was a guest earlier in the year on the show. Here is his track, Forget About Everything.
Thoughts are storming. Can never quite find a way out. Been here before, been now, it's different. Things have changed, some things are missing. Can never quite find a way out. But it is hard that you make it, baby. I haven't seen you lately. Oh, I've been waiting for a while just to see you again. These times the garble changing. Drama is never ending. We gotta take a sec, forget about everything. Forget
time to change the drawing. It's getting clearer in my head. Lines are reforming, and everything is making sense. In this pop-up with a different vision, eyes are wide, no things are missing. I'm singing my way out. But it is hard that you make a baby. I haven't seen you lately. Oh, I've been waiting for a while just to see you again. These times they are all changing. Drama is never ending. We gotta take a sec, forget about everything. Forget about everything.
And Fry, Forget About Everything. Check it out and all your favourite music spots. Now, the Auckland Theatre List, Emma, is in. What's coming up this week?
Well, believe it or not, there's two shows that are currently in our studio.
Excellent. They're on the list. Someone
they
sent
are
it up.
On the
good.
List.
Well,
someone
they can plug themselves.
Yep. And then there's the Cemetery Club Company Theatre. Take three middle-aged widows, one who flirts outrageously, one who's dedicated to the memory of her husband, and one who's beginning to realise that she still has life to live. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Throw an eligible widower into the mix and watch the sparks fly. Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting. So that's at the Rose Centre from the 8th to the 22nd of November. Oh, so that just kicked off last night.
Yeah, I'm heading along there this Thursday. And this Tuesday, I'm heading along to Life on a Loop by Peach Theatre Company. For Grace, Christmas Day is just like any other, filled with the same songs and stories playing on a relentless loop, echoing the rhythms of the dementia and elderly residents she cares for. After 30 years in a rest home, the repetition can wear her down, but Grace still turns up with a spark, energy and a glint in her eye. In Life on a Loop, Ali Smith's vibrant one-woman show, we meet this exhausted but fiercely likeable carer who finds joy and real connection in the monotony. With cracking humour, the show is deeply moving and refreshingly honest. It is on from Tuesday, the 11th of November, to Sunday, the 16th at Q Theatre. Head to qtheatre.co.nz, and this is Ali's return after 16 years back to New Zealand stage. Looking forward to it.
How fantastic. And the Mischief Company has Fizz Live comedy. Think Whose Line Is It Anyway, but live, local and bursting with mischief. A hilarious night of improvised madness fueled by your wild suggestions. Sounds like a bit of fun. It's happening on the 14th of November at the Vic in Devonport.
Brilliant. Now, we had our guest last week from Titirangi Theatre's The Importance of Being Earnest. That is playing now on Tuesday the 18th of November to the 29th of November. Go and see Oscar Wilde's brilliant comedy. And as they said, you will be surprised how many themes from all those years ago match to today, scaringly so. Head to titirangitheatre.co.nz for tickets.
And we had them on a few months back, HR the Musical.
This is number two.
This is number two. Dick and his band of generic employees are back with things getting personal. It's time to restructure again with a complete new show of riotous musical sketch comedy from the team that brought you the runaway 2024 hit, HR the Musical. That is happening in November through to December, end of November 25th through to the 6th of December at Q Theatre. So check out qtheatre.co.nz for that.
And lots more happening throughout November and December. You can find out by emailing and getting yourself on the list for The Theatre List at hello@thetheatrelist.com. But Emma, there's also a few Christmas shows coming up in Alberton.
It's a bit crazy that I actually said to you earlier this evening, didn't I?
She wanted to play music, Christmas music. Mariah was busting out over here, and I'm like, no, not till December.
Good on you. Yeah. So, Sky City have the best Christmas comedy show on earth, and it's hosted by our friend Chris Parker, happening on the 28th of November at 7:30. So this is from New Zealand Comedy Trust and Sky City, and even more laughter is on its way as four top-tier comedians are added to the already stacked festive lineup. So it's Ray O'Leary, James, I can never say his last name. Is it Masterpick?
Say it really fast, yeah.
Masterpick.
Yeah.
Courtney Dawson, Henry Yang, and Lily... I shouldn't have to pronounce these things.
And Lily's great.
Great. And, of course, Paul Williams. Like, this feels like the lineup of Taskmaster is coming to the stage at Sky City. So people should check it out because I'm sure the tickets are limited. Best Christmas comedy show on earth. www.comedyfestival.co.nz. It's coming to the end of the
night. It is. It was really funny. Not too long ago, James's mother came up from Dunedin to see one of his comedy shows and just happened to get in the same lift with me in my building because my building's half hotel, half apartments. And she was so confused. She'd never used Uber app before. She couldn't work out what to do. And I said, where are you heading? She said, oh, I'm going to see my son in the show in Ponsonby. I said, oh, I'm going to Ponsonby Road. Now, I've got an Uber. Just jump in my Uber. And, of course, from Dunedin, she's went, yeah, absolutely. Well, then got in and her son's ringing going, are you on your way? And she goes, yes, I'm in the Uber with a nice young man. He's like, what? You just got in somebody's Uber. What's happening? And then he panicked the entire way. He was so relieved when we got to Ponsonby and he was waiting nervously on the side. I was just like, it's all good, we can be hospitable. It was so funny. She was like, in Dunedin, we wouldn't have even thought. Yeah. Well, Base Entertainment have a fabulous show, the greatest Christmas show coming in November. And for those of you listening to our podcast throughout New Zealand, this is one for you because, man, are they performing all over the country. It's the company behind the international touring hits Celtic Illusion, Celtica, Ballroom Blitz and Anthony Street Illusionist. It's a brand new festive spectacular directed and produced by Anthony Street, touring 18 centres nationwide. A dazzling feel-good celebration of the season, the greatest Christmas show brings together a nine-strong cast of dancers, musicians, cirque artists in a full-scale variety extravaganza. Now, get ready for this. It's on in from the 28th of November in Invercargill, Gore, Queenstown, Oamaru, Ashburton, Dunedin, Christchurch, Nelson, Paraprau, Umu, Gisborne, Taupo, Napier, Whanganui, Palmerston North, Rotorua, Tauranga, Auckland and Hamilton. Unfortunately, all their different sites are booking through different ticket sites. So you're going to need to Google the greatest Christmas show because if I read all them out, you'd all go to sleep. So the greatest Christmas show from Base Entertainment.
Crazy. I love it that we've got the greatest Christmas show and the greatest Christmas show.
Yeah, two very different ones. Now, if you've got something coming up, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. We've still got a few spaces mid-November to mid-December. Come on the show, talk about it like these fabulous people tonight. Now, we're going to pitch it back to our guests now. If you could do the 1 minute sales pitch, sort of that voiceover audio radio sound promoting your show. Okay, so it's the advert now, it's the commercial advert. They're not musicals, so we can't play your backing tracks, but we could whistle for yours perhaps for Little Women. Take it away, David and Gavin. Promote.
If you want to feel good this Christmas, this is the play for you. It's about a man who's struggling in life, and it's how he comes through.
That was quick. that was a quick minute. And where can people go to get tickets and find out all those important things?
They can go to dolphintheatre.org.nz, and it's on from the 21st of November until the 6th of December.
Fantastic. And what a year for Dolphin. So many shows packed in. Really appreciate their sponsorship and support and all the support we get from Mike.
Yeah, Daily's great.
Yeah, really cool. And over to Foolish Wit. Take your time. We've got plenty of time. Promote your show. oh, that's really good on radio.
Somebody said, why don't we whistle? It's so tragic. I can't whistle. Thank you, braces. But that has nothing to do with the show. This Little Women is unlike any Little Women you've seen before. Forget the movie versions. Forget Greta Gerwig. Forget the book a little bit. It's a bit more like the book. In this story, Jo is telling a real story to her sister Beth about their lives growing up, the people they meet, the struggles they face, the sicknesses they overcome. This story is from her perspective, from her beautiful mind, and it is like nothing I've ever seen with this story. So if you want a fresh new take on a beautiful classic with beautiful people absolutely nailing it and some whistling, this is the show for you.
Some waltzing too.
And some waltzing.
And where do we go for tickets and all that sort of information?
You can get tickets at pumphouse.co.nz. If you also want to see a little behind the scenes action, see our beautiful faces and hear more of our beautiful voices, you can follow Foolish Wit on Facebook and Instagram and meet a little bit of the cast before you go see it.
And hear the cast tell their version of what the story is.
Yes, which is different than how I just said it, probably.
That's cool, cool. I love seeing social media used like that more and more now where you get to meet cast before you head along. Thinking of shows that you may have visited this year, anyone seen any that sort of that stand out as you look back on 2025?
There was one at Dolphin with Mike Daly that was red. Did you guys see that one?
No, no. But it was one that we interviewed him for.
Yeah,
and
it was amazing.
It was one that I wanted to see, but it was while I was busy doing
Yeah,
things.
Yeah, I think we were both away for that. Okay, that was your pick of the year?
That was incredible.
Anyone else?
I saw St. Joan earlier this year at Q and loved it. I loved it. I read the script and I had no idea how they were going to put that on stage. And I had long conversations with my grandfather about it, who was a George Bernard Shaw fan. Mm. I took him to see the show, and both of us were just blown away. It was a great show.
What makes that stand out in your head months later?
Just the acting was really good. It was really clever. And the storytelling, St. Joan was such an interesting character and in such an odd situation, and she acted with real dignity throughout, at least from George's perspective of what he wrote. And I think Bronwyn really pulled it off. Yeah, I really liked it. It was fabulous from the whole cast, but particularly Bron's performance was like standout.
That's cool. Anybody else? We see too much, we can't comment.
Oh, we see a ridiculous amount.
No, they were the standouts. Mm. Okay. If the Kick Arts microphone is in the foyer, Gavin, and it's picking up audience members as they leave, what do you hope it says as they leave It's a Wonderful Life?
I hope that they leave sort of feeling reaffirmed about life and that they just think they just leave with a positive feeling.
That's okay. Yeah. Sammy, audience feedback as they walk out the door, what do you hope the mic picks up?
I hope they're saying, I've never seen Little Woman done like that before. And it was wonderfully refreshing.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good time. I hope that people leave having enjoyed themselves, obviously, but yeah, a bit of the warm fuzzies in it as well.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, guys, for coming in. All the best for your seasons. Thanks for coming on a Sunday after rehearsals and all of that.
Yes, we did have rehearsals today.
We did.
Really appreciate it. Go well with your seasons.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Emma, what have you got on this week?
Good question. I feel like my weeks are rolling into one and I just keep going. I'm sure I've got things.
Back into sort of classes and that sort of routine,
yeah,
isn't it, now? Because you've been away for
crazy.
A bit.
It's a bit crazy. But yes, I know I've got things to see this week. I've just got to remember when and why. And oh, I know, I'm going on Thursday night to see Legally Blonde alternate cast. There you go.
Fantastic. You'll enjoy it. It's a good night out. I'll be off to Life on a Loop and Cemetery Club and we'll fill you in next Sunday on what they are like. Mm-hmm. Email us info@kickarts.org.nz if you've got something coming up so we can put it on. We're going to close the show with an old classic from 660. Don't forget your roots. Have a fabulous week and make sure you
kick some arts.
Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend. The ones who made you, the ones who brought you here. Don't forget your roots, my friend. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Oh, yeah. So Johnny was a good man, armed with the power of his homeland. Lace tight, a ticket in his hand, never to return home again. So he lost what he knows and what all is right for. A broken world and a world of lies, but the days were numbered, relationships suffered. He lost the faith of all those who mattered so. Don't forget your roots, my friend. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend. The ones who made you, the ones who brought you here. Don't forget your roots, my friend. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Oh, so Jesse thought that she was all that. But she was heading on the right track. Left her mates at the gate as she walked away. Oh, never to look back again. So she lost what she knows and what all is right. For a brand new image and a world of lies. But the days were numbered, relationships suffered. She lost the faith of all those who had a soul. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend. The ones who made you, the ones who brought you here. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Don't forget your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah. Oh, oh. Your family, yeah. Don't forget your roots, my friend, yeah.
Bye bye, we'll see you in a week. Don't forget to brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah 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 blah. Let's go kick some.